For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Joint practice today. Final practice of training camp, really, at NRG Stadium. And now you get a chance to see this team not just practice against themselves, but practice against the Los Angeles Rams in town. Obviously, that'll be the opponent on Saturday, but some interesting things have come out of camp, and we're going to try and kind of break down the things that we saw come out of that joint practice.
Yeah, let's call it what it is before we listen to D'Amico Ryans here. I think the reality is that's kind of a wrap on in terms of things that we see that we can maybe read into who we think might be starting, who won't be starting. I think we're at the point now where they're going to obviously, you know, take it easy tomorrow, game Saturday, not a lot of starters Saturday, and then we can start talking about who's in, who's out, et cetera. So this was a big day for a lot of players out there. And I think we saw some things that are very, very encouraging. Like, I don't know what we saw in terms of where we're sitting, and we're going to hear from D'Amico, and we're going to hear from all our boots on the ground, that was like an kind of moment, you know?
No, I didn't see anybody kind of speaking in such terms. The one that, to use Diana Rossini's parlance, the "oh, wow," Joe Mixon. And this, it's great because that was the thing that a lot of people had confidence in, just because Joe Mixon is a consummate starter in this league, consummate professional. We know, we've seen him, as you mentioned, we've seen him run, we've seen him block, we've seen him run block, pass protect, catch the football. We've seen him do all of those things.
Boy, did he catch the football today.
But yeah, it was like, hey, is he going to be able to do it in this context behind that first line? And the answer resoundingly was, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I believe even DJ Bieniemy, ESPN, tweeted out in just kind of a general statement, Joe Mixon was a legit playmaker today at joint practice. And that, I mean, C.J. Stroud had a bomb to Joe Mixon. We saw early on in the first team period that he ran the ball pretty well behind this first offensive line, which that was something that we had not seen anybody else do, although the anybody else was just Damian Pierce. Mm-hmm. But, like, seeing all of those things together, I think completely pacifies any level necessary of concern about is Joe Mixon going to be serviceable behind this offensive line? Is it going to be incredible? That remains to be seen, but is he going to be able to get the job done? The answer seems to be yes.
No, like I said, let's be honest here. This was a big day for the 2024 Houston Texans. Like, the Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, you know, the coaches, the staff, they have some decisions to make. But I feel like they got all the content they need to make that decision. I don't feel there's going to be a whole lot other than back end of the roster, perhaps, that you're going to say on Saturday, all right, so maybe that guy that they're going to say on Saturday, all right, so maybe that guy sort of tipped the scales in his favor or didn't tip the scales in his favor. So I think we've got the information we needed. I don't know about you guys, but I wanted to see Joe Mixon. I mean, I said it yesterday. We didn't bring it to the air, but I was telling you guys before the show, I got to see Joe Mixon today, and I got to see Joe Mixon against the Rams, and then I'm good. Guess what? I'm good. I'm good on Joe Mixon. I wanted to find out a little bit. I wanted John Metchie to back up that performance he had last Saturday with maybe some, you know, some more impressive or at least some impact type moments yesterday and today. We might have to dig in a little bit more on that, but I feel like I'm good. I'm good on John Metchie. Wanted to see, you know, now there's still some players who didn't play. Will Anderson, not really concerned about that.
Christian Harris,
maybe a little more concerned about that, you know. So I think all the information that the Texans needed and we needed to see before we start seeing how this team shakes out, we have.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, along those lines, like some concerns when we talk about the defensive secondary, right? The idea of cornerback depth. I don't know that we can speak to that, but Kamari Lassiter got his hands on some footballs. He actually got an interception as well today in practice. So that should give some people a little bit of pause, or not pause, but a little bit of relief in that way, especially because that 4.6 speed is the thing that a lot of people were concerned with, and it sounds like for all intents and purposes,
Kalen Bullock,
that he was out there handling his own against the likes of Cooper Kupp and others. And yes, you mentioned the safety, Kalen Bullock, who seems like is going to be a starter. He got an interception, and he sounded like we saw his name pop up a few times when we talk about plaudits out of camp.
No, so I feel like big day. D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio have got the information they need. We know who the starting safety is going to be. It's going to be Kalen Bullock. We know Kamari Lassiter is eased a lot of, I don't know, fears, maybe questions, this training camp. We're good. Figgy, I don't know about you. I don't need to see any starters.
Well,
any. Okay. Zero.
Well, and I think that that's the way that the Rams have kind of operated this with these joint practices, and I think the Texans will probably follow suit in that this was your first team kind of reps for the weekend, and then the rest of this will allow them to kind of figure out what the back end of that roster looks like. And speaking of the decision makers who will have that, D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, obviously he always talks after practice. He did so today.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As well, as what he said.
How do you think everything went today?
Really good day. All three phases, we got a lot of work in. We set out to accomplish, right, working a lot of situational football, and we were able to do that. Thought it was a clean practice on both sides. A lot of competitive juices flowing on both sides as well. So it was really good work. Happy that we were able to get that work in today.
What do you see as the biggest benefit of having practices like this?
The biggest benefit of this is we get to go against a different team, right, different schemes, all three phases, and just see different players. Like, we have our matches where we go one-on-ones or whatever it may be, but it's always the same receivers, same corners. So now our guys get the opportunity to get as many reps as possible against a different player, right, and to see, you know, how they run routes, right, to see how they come off the ball as a D-line and how we need to protect. So it's really beneficial in that regard.
Even McVay helped embrace kind of before practice. What's your relationship like in these situations? Do you kind of like to see how other coaches work?
And with me, with myself and McVay, we've established a really good relationship from our time going against each other in San Francisco for, I think, 6 or 7 years, right, going against each other. And, you know, it's mutual respect, really respect the program that he runs there and how he has his guys prepared and ready to go play. And he shares the same sentiment with me. He's always encouraging, always uplifting. You know, after we played a game, always found a way to find each other after the game, right, and talk. So really really respect what he's done in his league. He's winning. Did what we're all trying to do. He's winning one at all, right? And he's done it really well and been successful for many years as a young head coach in this league.
How beneficial is it for these rookies to have this type of practice setting and you be able to teach them like that?
It's big for all of our guys, not only rookies. It's the entire team. I think everybody benefits from this. Like, you just seeing different things. Like, they know our offense kind of knows what we're running. They know our coverages. They know, like, we try to disguise. They kind of know our disguises. So after a few weeks of that, it kind of gets monotonous. So being able to go against a different team, it breaks the monotony of camp.
D'Amico, I've heard a number of your players talk about how not everyone could play here. What do you think it's about what you guys have here that's unique?
For me, it's just a style of play, right? It's how we play. It's a relentless style of play. It's a swarming mentality from all of our
our entire team. And it's hard here, right? First, starting with the conditions in which we work in, it's not the same anywhere else, right? We work in different conditions. It's a little tougher. Guys have to be able to handle that. And the biggest thing is not complaining about it. Like, we're going to work hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to play fast. We're going to practice fast. And, guys, if you want to, you're about that, then you could probably make it here.
What are the biggest things you're looking for in the last preseason game on Saturday?
This last preseason game, really looking forward to the guys who get the reps, seeing them grow and improve. Right now, it's that, you know, like that final exam. Right, we've been going for about a month here in training camp, and all of the coaching points and all the tips we've been giving guys. Like, can you go out and pass this final exam? Like, how much have you grown? How much have you learned? And can you showcase that right on the big stage?
So make some plays in the pass game. What do you think about his ability as a back to make plays as a receiver?
Yeah, Joe is a receiving running back. That's what sets him apart. Everybody understands the running game, how physical he is, and how he's able to gain yards. Even when it's not blocked well, he can still gain yards. But he has really good hands out of the backfield, and he's a guy that if it's not open down the field, we can take the ball down, and he's a reliable guy who can get us explosives in a passing game as well.
D'Amico, excluding the upcoming game, sir, does this type of practice from a coaching perspective give y'all a lot more to really evaluate players on as opposed to doing it at the game?
Yeah, great question. There's no doubt about it. This gives us a lot to evaluate from for our guys, like seeing how they handle different situations, seeing how they handle different looks from an offensive perspective and a defensive perspective, and see, right, you see who's steady in those moments, and you see who's still kind of swimming and trying to figure it out. So it really helps us to see all of the rules and things we've been teaching, like, are guys able to stick to it, or do they kind of waver? So this is a really great evaluation tool to see us going against another great NFL opponent.
There was a play afterwards where we saw McVay walking across the field, talking to CJ, obviously giving him some input. It's just like the teacher in him. Is that the kind of thing you like about dealing with a coach like that?
Yeah, I love working with McVay. He's always upbeat. He's high energy. He's always encouraging, always teaching, like, even if whatever it is, defensively, like, hey, great play, hey, or offensively, like, the guy's just full of energy. He's a positive guy. He's a guy I love to be around because he's always coaching, always teaching. But you can tell this guy loves football, right? And whether it's encouraging CJ or uplifting Petrie, like, that's what he's about. And that's why he's been a successful coach in the league. Hutchinson and Rob Woods, they've been making plays all camp. And it's the same today, guys. We've been consistent and made plays all throughout camp. There's two guys you can count on, Hutch and Woods. They've been making plays, so no surprises that they made plays today for us. It's hard for me to say right now. It's a lot of football for me bouncing back and forth on both fields. We have to go back and watch the film.
We'll close with Cody and Will.
Has Jalen Petrie settled into that slot corner walk down role that you guys have kind of used him in the camp so far? Has he settled in like you wanted to?
Jalen has done a great job. He's been one of our most consistent players throughout camp, and I'm excited with what Jalen has done, and, you know, just bright future ahead of him based off what he's done so far in this camp. He's had a really great camp, and that should lead to a really good season for him.
Last one, Jay gonna play Saturday?
Say it again?
CJ play Saturday?
Whatever you think. What do you think? All right. I'm out.
That was a no on CJ Stroud playing on Saturday. But there you go. I mean, I thought D'Amico gave us some interesting insights. I don't know if it was like a ton of insight, but there were some interesting things that he dropped and some nuggets in that media availability.
Yeah, they ain't playing. First of all, that's the big nugget there. He said, I'm out, when they were asked if CJ was going to play. And man, I don't want him to. This is exactly how I wanted to draw it up when camp started, and certainly at the beginning of the week. They got everything they needed. Now, you know, he talked about Hutchinson and Woods there.
And he did differentiate. Differentiate between them.
Yeah,
at all.
And I think Hutchinson has had, by all accounts, you know, a really good camp and has made things interesting. And you know, on their decision making. Woods has had his moments, but Woods hasn't had the camp that Hutchinson has had.
Been making plays all camp is what he said about both of them.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. Obviously, Jalen Petrie, I mean, he's expecting big things and likes what he's seen. We've had some moments from him. And then the other thing that the story of the day for me is don't worry about Joe Mixon.
Not at all.
Don't worry about Joe Mixon. He can do it all, and I think this is going to be a great fit for him.
Yeah. I talked about him as a receiving running back and how that's what sets him apart, and even said something I don't know if he was like cognizant of as he was saying it, that I'm sure the media is going to pick up this and latch onto this, but he's like, even when it's not blocked up, he can gain yards running the football.
Yeah.
And obviously with all the conversations we've had about the run blocking and Dameon Pierce behind that run blocking, the clear distinction is Joe Mixon, blocked or not, it's going to look like it's supposed to. And so, no, that was cool to see, but good to see that was a clean practice, apparently. I imagine that means there's no fights, especially since I didn't see anything.
Frisky, but not fights, is what it seemed like.
What teams want.
What you want.
That's what teams want, 100%. So.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good practice. It sounds like all things went largely well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, looks good. And on to the weekend.
On to Indianapolis.
Yeah, basically.
But if you have tickets for Saturday, I'm not trying to, I mean, just.
Yeah, enjoy. Some people want some tickets, man.
Enjoy the event. Okay, that'll be my stance on this. If you have tickets for Saturday, enjoy the event. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing the tailgating thing again. Come say hello, man. I'm going to be eating and drinking. And then watching some backups play football. But I will be enjoying the event. And he actually said something about that, too. Because they asked him, what do you expect to see or what do you hope to see Saturday? He goes, well, the guys who get the reps... It's like
growing and improving.
Yeah, go on and do something in your last preseason.
I'm kind of curious who is getting the reps because we've been talking to. I mean, I don't know if Pierce is getting the reps at all. I think he's fine, but is Mechie out there?
Is Mechie out there?
I mean, the way that this is going, we're feeling, maybe to start.
I mean, somebody's got to play.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
he's not a starter.
No.
You know?
But, yeah, probably to start Mechie and, like, those guys down. We talk about, obviously, Hutchinson, but then all now down to Sims and Skronik and those types of folks.
Yeah. Most rookies, but not Lassiter or Bullock.
No, it seems like
nah,
those
they
guys
not.
Been,
they're going to be wearing a ball cap.
Yeah, those guys have definitely been penciled in as starters. So, if you have somebody who you know is absolutely a starter, you could probably weigh them out of this one as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Enjoy the event.
Very, very excited to enjoy
good atmosphere.
It. And with that, I guess technically training camp's over, right?
For me, it is. Yeah, for me, it is. I think
yeah,
so. They're not even going to
practice
tomorrow. They're not even going to practice tomorrow. So it is. Yeah, it is over.
Overall rating of camp this year?
Well, I thought, look, and he touched on this as well. Like, that heat was, it started out kind of cool. Like, it rained like 4 days in a row.
It sure did.
And it was cool early on. That heat, if you can get through it, and by the way, they're going to have 2 weeks to recover now, or what was it, 17 days, whatever I counted up earlier. It is going to help this team. I think a lot of people say, well, it doesn't really help you. Hot is hot, no matter what. No, I think it does get these guys, if not other than mentally, like we got through it. We played fast. He talked about that as well. We played fast. We played hard. It's not for everybody. But we got through it. So even if it's not so much the heat as the mentality of like, you know, how we
in the adversity
got
of the
through
heat,
this. Yeah.
Were you able to maintain the principles that D'Amico Ryans has established for this team, which, as you mentioned, playing fast, being physical, playing within, you know, the structure of things. Shout out to Jimmy Ward, who apparently was able to do that as well.
Yes, he was.
That was something that he was asked about and that he was talking about a little bit. And so, I think that absolutely is something that is worth noting that within camp, everybody seemed to be in that place. And no season-ending injuries equals a success outside of Dalton Keene, who was a
fourth.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Low on the depth chart when it comes to tight ends. Mm-hmm. He's on the IR. But, there you go. Camp technically wraps up with the joint practice against the Rams, and it sounds like a lot of good things there. You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time to do some lunchtime confession.
All right, let's do it.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reginald and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, you guys want to know what the first play is that the Texans are going to run against the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, yeah.
I think I know it.
What is it?
That's my confession. I think I know what play they're going to run against the Indianapolis Colts. First play for scrimmage, C.J. Stroud. Remember the first play of full pads in front of the in the open practice? It was a red zone down the right sideline to Stephon Diggs. First play today. Inter-squad joint practice against the L.A. Rams. 50-yard toss to Stephon Diggs. They're going to Diggs. They're going to make a little statement. They made that little statement in the first play that they went into pads. Made that little statement on the first play that they went joint practices with the Rams. They're going to open with a little sideline wheel route, or not a wheel route, sideline route down to Stephon Diggs. Just a gut. Just my gut reaction, my gut confession.
Okay, and CJ talked about it today about like the natural connection that it seems like he has with Stephon Diggs and how it's continued to build.
Got
to
make that statement, man. Camp.
Yeah, I mean, and a little bit of deference to the dude who comes in and is kind of the vet receiver now in that starting quarter. Mm-hmm. So I could see it. I could definitely see that.
They've shown it twice. Watch this. These
are my confessions. Clint Sterner, Seth Payne. They got me scared.
They got you scared.
They got me scared in a way that I didn't think I was going to be scared, right? Like, Bobby Slowick is a young play caller, but he is a damn talented one that has gotten a lot of praise. And hell, the people were ready to give him a head coaching job.
May have been offered last year.
Right? But when it comes to running offense, people immediately were like, all right, comfortable what he's doing. But with the running game, especially before Joe Mixon got behind the first team starters in practice today, like, there was a lot of talk about, oh, Damian Pierce is not making the most of what's there. But then also, those guys were like, hey, the run blocking isn't where up to snuff in some ways. Mm-hmm. And Clint, yesterday on the drive, was mentioning that sometimes the actual, like, scheme of the run, run play doesn't make sense. Because you're leaving dudes unblocked in a way where you're trying to get hats on hats with the direction or wherever you're going to ultimately block it up. And I went and I got on the old faithful all 22.
That's always dangerous.
And I was like, wait, no, hold on. He's right. Yeah. Why did y'all leave him unblocked? Why did you leave that guy unblocked? And I'm not here to tell you that I'm like the super understanding football guy, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like when it comes to running, you definitely don't want to leave a linebacker to get to the point that you're trying to get to.
He's ripping the O-line.
So I was like, wait, hold on. No, that's not even the O-line. That's a scheme, Bobby. Is this an issue? Is making sure that the run plays are all perfectly sound?
Hey,
is that an issue?
This is confessions.
All right, I'm a little bit scared, more scared than I previously was on that front. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So you guys are familiar with Brittany Renner, correct?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is she local?
She's not local. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's not local, but she's all over the place.
She sure is.
No pun intended. But she, I ran across her page recently, actually yesterday, and I know this.
Just happened to stumble across that, huh?
Just so happened.
Wonder how that happened.
This is the crazy part. I didn't even recognize. I didn't even know it was her because she was covered up. So.
That's such a wild way to say it.
I need to see her uncovered.
No, then like,
I
would recognize her. Was literally covered up. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, I'm not sure if she went Muslim or what.
She put the hijab on it.
Yeah, she had everything going. Right. She was totally covered up.
I see what you're talking about.
And I said, wait a minute, what's going on?
I see it.
So I went to her page. I start going down her timeline, and there's multiple videos and pictures of her covered up, like, over the... I want to say over the past month or two.
Yeah.
Well, Assalamu alaikum to her.
Yeah. You know?
Hey, I got to confess, man, this kind of made me a little sad a little bit because every time she come across my timeline.
It was a little pick you up.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I see what you're working with. But now she's totally covered up, man. That's to me. And look, of course, I had no chance to get with her, nor do I want to get with her.
Yeah, sure, like, let's start with the second part first.
Yeah.
Happily married man.
Yeah, I'm good. But sometimes, you know, as a married man, it's cool to just kind of scroll and look.
Yeah, for
is
sure.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. So
because you don't delve in those things.
Yeah.
You don't delve in such things.
I'm a little bit sad about this, man. Like, happy for her. Maybe she this was good for her and she changed her life and all that stuff. Found God. But I'm a little bit sad about this, man.
I'll tell you what, though. And I shouldn't even say that.
He's on the page right now.
She makes it look good.
Hey, man, if I was single and Muslim, I would be all over that.
She makes it look
but
good.
But I'm a little bit sad, man, seeing her covered up
Sister
like
Brittany,
this.
Sister Brittany, would you like to go pray a little bit?
Man, I gotta do. Well, no, I don't.
Watch this. My
all right, I got two driving related confessions back to back here. Ooh. Indulge me on this.
Go for it.
Because I'm driving home from Twin Peaks yesterday, and I went down Washington Ave because I had to pick up a prescription or whatever. So I'm on Washington Avenue, and I'm next to a guy in a truck.
Okay.
Just a work truck by himself, not with other guys. And there's three or four women walking down the sidewalk, about to walk into a restaurant. And he honks his horn twice. And I'm like, what are we doing as men? Like, this is all we got. This, like, and by the way, what did he expect to happen? He honks his horn, you know, the old, like, the dude is clearly, you know, in his 40s, 50s or whatever, driving by himself. And hey, does he think they're going to stop everything and hop in the truck with him?
Yeah, I didn't. I had not considered, like, what did you think the end goal was?
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? Is this all we have? Are we that dumb?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are.
Are we that dumb? And then there's this one. I keep driving down Washington Avenue, headed to my house, and I've seen this multiple times, more lately, it seems, than before. Can somebody explain to me, because I don't understand, if you have a Jeep, more power to you, cool. But if you have a Jeep with two gas cans clamped to the sides of it. Have you seen this trend?
I haven't.
People put gas cans, like plastic gas cans, to, I guess to make it look better or whatever. Like they clamp them on the sides of their Jeep. And I'm thinking, where the hell are you going? Where you're going to need extra gas. There's not going to be a gas station.
Nah, that sounds like The Walking Dead or something.
I've seen it
in The Walking Dead.
I've seen it like
when they driving around
three
with
or
the gas
four
cans
times in the last couple of months. Like somebody driving their Jeep and there's... It's like an accessory. You can attach gas cans to the side of your Jeep. And I'm like, there's 7 million people here, and you're going to have to drive a long way to where you ain't going to find a gas station. Like, why do you have, like...
Do it look cool?
Where are you going, exactly? Where are you planning to go where you need extra gas for your Jeep?
Yeah, I do think Fig is right that this exists within the rule of cool type situation where they feel like, this looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought, and this is, I don't know if this is me being cheap or me having maybe some latent, maybe klepto tendencies in there that I had not really examined. But all I thought was, if you were trying to use that functionally, that sounds like a lick and a half to me, right? Like, oh, somebody just got gas on the side of their car? Well, let me go ahead and fill up right quick, right? Yeah. If you park that car, I'm taking some of your gas. I'm sorry.
I seriously doubt they ever have gas in them.
Okay.
But I'm like, why do you put gas
in? It's probably a fashion statement. I ain't going to lie. I feel like Jeep owners, they have this own coat fan
base.
It
is.
Where
they have because the Jeep Wave and all that stuff.
Because
which is kind of cool.
Because I heard if you had like a Jeep Wrangler or something, like a real Jeep, not like a Jeep Compass that I got, but like a real Jeep,
they
have like a certain
you
type
of the real Jeep.
Nah, I ain't got the real Jeep. Somebody actually told me that, like, nah, you ain't part of the club. But the actual Jeep Wrangler where you can snatch the doors off and drive cool like that.
Yeah,
I heard they have like their own salute. Where they see somebody else driving in the Jeep Wrangler, kind of like how bus drivers, when they see another bus driver,
they do the two finger, three finger.
So they do that with the Jeeps. So I think that's kind of cool.
They have the little Jeep Wave stickers and all. I get all that.
Yeah.
But you got extra gas.
Well,
who knows? You may need to take a drive to the Mojave Desert at some point.
And 832 does make a point. Look, man, you are prepared then if the hurricane comes through and, you know, the whole gas line.
Hurricane coming for a week.
And then in that situation, you can get extra gas. You're prepared to have the extra gas together. And then
I guarantee you, both you guys are going to see these Jeeps now. You probably hadn't even noticed them.
Probably,
yeah.
All right.
Watch this.
I'm going to keep going with the sportsy trend on these confessions. I really like what the Rams are doing when it comes to joint practices and training camp.
I do too.
Three preseason games, obviously. Three joint practices training camp wise. Each of them with the team that they're going to face that week.
Mm-hmm.
I love that as an idea.
Yeah.
Because the thing that the Texans are getting a chance to do this week where you get all of the first team reps against first teamers of the other team, and you can put them in the particular situations that you want. Hey, we want to see We want to see these guys playing third down situations. We want to see them play red zone situations. We want to see run situations.
Hey, can you run
like
that
this,
again?
Right? Can we run that again? I want to see them work that again. You can do all of that, and then you have a whole game to now give.
You're speaking my language. I've been saying that. The how many times have I said exactly what he's talking about?
But you like, do that four, you do that three times in the preseason instead of just doing
totally
that
agree.
Once.
I totally agree.
I love it.
Completely unnecessary. You can control injuries a little better, or at least not completely, but a little better, you know, because it's not all the way to the ground, but it's contact.
Sure.
You can protect quarterbacks in certain situations. No, this is the way to go. They are setting the trend, and I totally agree with you.
So I like sharing news like this. The news of I was today years old when I found out that happened to me this morning. So I was today years old when I found out Lawrence Fishburne was married to Gina Torres.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. I seen the picture popped up, and I guess I did my searches, and they were married since like 2001. 2002, somewhere around there.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
Larry Fishburne himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if you're not familiar with Gina Torres, she played on Suits. Mm-hmm. She played on 9-1-1 right now. Very popular. And Lawrence Fishburne, of course, we all know who he is. But
yeah,
I had no idea they were together, man.
Fury Styles himself. Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I got to confess that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. You just told me so. And they were together for a minute, too. It was like one of those real quick ones. They were there, what, 16 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
16 years?
Since like 01, 02, somewhere around there.
What are you making fun of me for saying 16 is a long time?
No, that is a long time. No, that is a long time.
I know the world I never would have guessed. John?
No, I never would have guessed. I mean, Jayla would have been married three times in that span. Maybe four.
How many people she was with?
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say. Y'all,
was she with Diddy around that time?
Y'all making fun of J-Lo. I will say I do appreciate this. When she's out, she's out. She's like, look, man, I'm not wasting no time in a place that I don't want to be.
Dude, she did it on his birthday.
Gone.
That was sad.
She filed on his birthday.
She got to have an album coming out.
Happy birthday. Here's some papers.
That. Yeah.
Happy birthday. Here's a couple papers I want you to sign. That's cold, man. That's tough. That is absolutely cold-blooded.
You got one more, John?
I'm good, man.
All right, here we go. Those are your lunchtime confessions in the loop, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sports Radio 610. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. All right, coming up next, let's go ahead and do this. A little bit of cap or no cap.
All right.
Thursday staple that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try that out next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Let's do a little cap or no cap on a Thursday here in Houston. It is In the Loop.
Mm-hmm.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atitula. Look up, and apparently Texans GM Nick Caserio sitting down talking to the Pat McAfee show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I'll definitely have to go back and listen to.
We will dig in, see
what that man is talking about there. I imagine that there's some conversations about what the cut down looks like, those types of things. But we'll definitely have that for you here on Sports Radio 610. If I know Tyler, as I'm starting to get a...
Oh, Tyler's already got... Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure he's already midway through cutting it up, even though the interview is still happening. So I'm sure...
Nick looks like he's sitting at the kids' table.
Yeah, that's a camera angle situation. You know... Really,
he's definitely
yourself
on a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could definitely hurt yourself by just not putting the camera at the right angle.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of headroom.
Yeah.
He's just existing at the bottom of the screen. Yep. And he could
plastic plates.
He could have stood to have a ring light or something. It's a little dark in there.
Yeah, that too.
They look like they're in the meeting room or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm sure that he's talking about some good things when it comes to your Houston Texans. All right, cap or no cap?
All right. Is
the game or the name of the game? Where are we going?
Well, let's start with our Houston Texans right here in town.
Excellent.
Was it yesterday or the day before? D'Amico Ryan said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many run plays the first team Texans offense had.
That had to be like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about it with B. Scott, and B. Scott was making note of.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he only had like a couple of.
Yeah.
Now, one of them he was, you know, and he broke down the play.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He might have had two.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Cap or no cap, Figgy?
I think he's capping, man. He's a coach now, and so he know what he could say and what type of lies he could just throw out there. And I don't want to just call them lies, but stuff he could say.
Technically, it's,
because I think one of the things coaches like to say, I haven't watched the film yet.
Come on,
I gotta watch.
By the way, it was Tuesday. He had watched the film.
Exactly. Yeah. So
it's such a great deflection too that I haven't watched the film, because immediately after the game you could say I haven't watched the film, and then by the next practice, the next time you're in front of the media,
we moved on.
Yeah, we're moved on. I'm focusing on the next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a great deflection.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the ways to be able to do that in my in my day to day life. How can I also not watch the film? I just haven't checked yet, right?
So cap or no cap?
That's cap.
That's capity cap.
That's big cap.
Figgy likes
especially
to say.
that man is a detail oriented coach as
And he had watched the film. He could have told you what yard line that each run started on. All right, so cap or no cap? How about that, Brian Flores? Brian Flores said he wishes nothing but the best for Tua Tagovailoa. Does he?
I think that's no cap.
No cap?
Yeah, like, I think even because we've been in this place this week where we're trying to determine, was he actually being mean to Tua, or was Tua being soft, all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will say is I find a hard time believing, and it is possible. I'm not trying to say that there's a 0% chance that this is not in here, but like, I have a hard time believing that these coaches will get out here and be jerks just for the sake of being jerks, right? I think that oftentimes they will be jerks because they believe that it is an ends to the means of being a good football team. And so I'm sure for Brian Flores, he was probably out there like, yo, I was just trying to make you better.
Yeah.
And now that I'm not your head coach, hey, man, best of luck to you. I want you to do as best as you can.
Yeah.
And maybe you felt like I was being a jerk. I did not feel like I was being a jerk, but that don't mean that I hate you or whatever. But even though maybe he does hate him, I don't know that dude
Biggie?
Like that.
Yeah, I'm going to say no cap, too. I think he was genuine. Like, honestly, I was surprised he was that honest.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't say much, but for the simple fact, he didn't push back on what.
And he didn't deny.
He didn't deny anything. Yeah. He really didn't push back on anything. And during that time, like, I guess people don't realize how much of a mess Miami was during that time, too. Oof.
From the very top, too.
Yeah, so I don't know what he was going through. Maybe he was feeling a lot of pressure that this high draft pick ain't doing nothing. So, like, I think he's totally wrong for doing that to a player. I don't think anybody should talk to a player like that. But I think he legit is genuine on wishing him the best.
I'm gonna go cap just because I think it's human nature a lot of times. And I, as much as he was, he, you know, to your point, he seems sincerely like, yeah, man, I did it. Maybe I didn't know that that's how it was coming across or whatever. But I think human nature, you leave a spot. You know, there's some extenuating circumstances for on both sides. You're like, yeah, they can, you know, I hope they lose every game, you know, or something like that. You know, one of those things.
And I imagine if there is some like hope they lose every game, if we're going to be completely honest, knowing how it went down in Miami, there's bigger fish to fry. If you're talking about like hatred points for Brian Flores in Miami, I imagine that goes to some of them other folks in that Miami organization.
Like the guy that owned the team.
The guy that was like, yeah, we want you to make sure to lose.
Just human nature is like, no. All right, cap or no cap. This was a tough one for me. I'm interested in you guys. Caleb Williams says he does not get nervous. There was some audio, I guess, I don't know where it came from, but anyway, that some player or coach was asking him, you know, you nervous, you know, first game or whatever.
Like, actually, I think we got this cut here, right? Cut 16?
Yeah, we got it.
Let's hear Caleb Williams talk about getting nerves or not.
Well, your nervous level, nervous energy gets to, like, scale of 1 to 10.
0. I don't get nervous. Not since my first game of high school versus Gilman. I fumbled 2 snaps. Other than that, and I came back and threw like an out and up down the sideline. Other than that, play ball.
Cap or no cap, Caleb Williams does not get nervous.
That feels like cap. He said it in such a way where I almost want to go no cap, because like, he sold it for
zero
on the back end, because he's like, not that he said zero, because zero just sounds like it's what you say. But he was like, not since this one time. And he broke all the things down, and he's like, since then, boom, we've been good.
Yeah.
That feels like someone who's assured, but that also just feels like cap. You got to, I'm sure that you found a situation where, I know you might have like assurance in yourself, but if you find yourself in a situation, if you're pushing yourself in the ways that I think all people push themselves, when you get to that place, I think there's bound to be some nerves in a normal human being, although I guess sometimes these athletes are not normal human beings.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say he's not capping on this, man, because it seemed like he always come in a little cocky.
Yeah.
And he been criticized a lot, too, the way he's been taking in the NFL where, you know, we always had this thing where we say, oh, you's a rookie, so you got to do. It seemed like he been taking the opposite side of being a rookie. So I feel like he's legit telling the truth right here.
I'm going to say.
Maybe his first game, he will, like when it's time, maybe he will season, be. Yeah, maybe he will get nervous. But right now, I'm going to say no, I don't think he is.
I'm going to say cap. And I used to tell this to my kids all the time just to try to get them to study. Like I always tell them, like, if you're prepared, like if you truly are fully prepared, there's no reason to be nervous. But I think you still get, maybe it's not, you know, traditional nervousness, but you still get kind of anxious.
Yeah.
You know, you're and so I
think I think once he run out on the field for the first play of his career, I think that's when he might be a little nervous. But right now, when he was sitting there talking on the sideline, I think he cool right then. But
yeah,
when that's that real NFL game.
It feels like if you have the emotions in the game at a high enough level, then there's probably going to be some nerves. And I guess
I think nerves can be good, or at least anxiousness.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
For sure. I mean, I've been told in various facets, if you don't have some nerves in there, or nerves are good because it means that you care about it. Right?
Yeah,
you have some level of feeling. And Ronald on the YouTube said the dude doesn't get nervous but cries in his mama's arms after a game, which I feel like is a little low. Like it's a little low, but I also do think that you're pointing to the idea that, hey man, there's some emotions in this, and I feel like if you have those emotions on the back end, I imagine you have some nerves on making sure you do well on the front.
Yeah. Pete Carroll said he could coach tomorrow, but he doesn't plan on ever coaching again. Cap or no cap? 70 what?
Man,
his 70s.
I think he's older than Bill Belichick, right? Or around the same age.
About the same age. Yeah, Pete Carroll is 72.
He said he could coach tomorrow.
Now he's 73 in a month.
He's saying he can physically coach tomorrow,
like he's been talked. People have somebody talked to him already.
He
could have a job tomorrow, but he said he doesn't plan on coaching again. Cap or no cap?
That's cap. He still wanted to be coaching this year.
Yeah.
It was the Seahawks organization that kind of pushed him out of that. And I think in order to kind of make this all go smooth, he decided to take that role that's kind of one of those nebulous ones in the front office or whatever, as some level of advisor or what have you. I think that man still wants to do it. Maybe. And then also, I don't know that he would be in the place to like go home and be a family man. Because again, he was coaching at 72.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
he still wants it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say cap too. If it was out there, he would have took it.
Yeah,
I think he would have got that, went on and coached somewhere else. But
yeah, that makes it unanimous. Cap,
yeah,
cap, cap, cap. How about another couple quick ones here?
Cool.
We have this as well, Figgy. Kevin Stefanski. He said he's quote not overly concerned about Deshaun Watson missing a practice because of arm soreness.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into Seattle plans just yet. Deshaun was a little sore. I decided to just hold back a little bit with him, but not overly concerned.
Can you say arm soreness?
Yeah, I'd say general arm soreness, but again, not, he practiced. I held him back. He could have gone. He's feeling fine.
What is general arm soreness?
Dude, this dude could work for the Astros. Cap or no cap? Dude, I know you get a tired arm in training camp, but he missed practice because of the soreness in his arm.
Yeah, this feels like big cap, and if it's not cap, there should be.
Yeah.
Right, there should be some concern in there. Like, this is a dude who, and we've seen Stefanski run a pretty good system that you've had a lot of dudes come in and be successful in. Hell, Joe Flacco came in off the street.
Joe Flacco
looked solid enough.
PJ Walker won a game.
PJ Walker looked good looked sufficient at the very least in the system. And you have not seen that from Deshaun Watson. Talk less of like the time that you missed him to injury and now you were dealing with this again. You absolutely should have some concern. And I feel like Kevin Stefanski is a man who has enough sense in his brain to look around and be like, yeah, no, that's concerning. You can't say it. I understand.
No, I know that. But that's why we're playing the game. Cap or no cap?
I think he's capping, man, because right now, like, this is your franchise quarterback. This is somebody that's going to affect your team over the next couple years. And he was out last year, wasn't really healthy. And now this year, he's going into a new year, not really healthy.
Yeah.
And general arm soreness, pretty much the same thing that kind of kept him out last year.
Yeah.
I would be a little concerned, man.
Hey, if I got $230 million invested in a dude that hadn't done squat yet, I would be concerned if he sneezed. Like, sure. I would be concerned.
And two, the verbiage around like how he explained things be a little weird too, because Deshaun didn't play at all this throughout this preseason.
Yeah.
And then I think he mentioned like, oh, it's up to him if he's good to go. Up to you. Like, dog, like, nah, I'm the coach.
Yeah.
I want to see you out there in preseason.
It's been a long time.
Up to you. Like, when were you making the decisions? Yeah. I thought you was good to go.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
No, it might be
Jameis Winston season.
It's cap, for sure. How about another quick one here, real quick?
Let's do it.
No pun intended. John Cena was interviewed, and he said he did not like filming sex scenes in his movie career. He said I won't say that word. He said they stunk filming sex scenes in movies. Cap or no cap?
I think that's no cap.
I'm going to say no cap, too. I always think about that, man. Like,
you got a whole crew.
It got to be super awkward, right? Because you're not really doing
super
it.
Super awkward.
Everything I've heard, like, from actors, actresses that have been in those spaces is like, it is not as salacious as you imagine. It's real awkward, especially nowadays as they, you know, they add intimacy coordinators and everything to try and make sure that it goes off without a hitch. But that's even more of this coordination. And it ends up being like a big, like a choreographed thing, almost like a fight sequence. And so it's probably best to just to get into a place where you're like, I'm regular acting as opposed to doing all this
and how could you do that without breaking out laughing, man?
Just
trying to act like you're doing it. It's just thought of it's just kind of funny to me.
I'm gonna say no cap too, the only qualifier being, like, usually it's a unbelievably beautiful woman, because you're in Hollywood, you know, and so it would be like so awkward just like being in that situation, you know. No cap, but that's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one.
And sometimes your co-worker in that situation, they're married and the husband's over there watching. I can't imagine that's all fun. So there you go, a little bit of cap or no cap. And for the person asking, cap means that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
No cap would then mean telling the truth. And so we'll keep that around. I like that quite a bit. That was fun.
Yeah.
Right here in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we talked about camp and the joint training camp practice, but unfortunately we weren't able to be out there. So let's see if we can get a little bit more insight from somebody who was on the ground. A little surprise guest from camp. We'll talk about it next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.